events you rejoice over, the things you get excited about and rejoice about. Somebody's retirement. A lot of people rejoice over that, right? You know, finally I can take it easy a little bit. And they never do, but you know, it's just different kind of work. It's not the got to clock in Monday through Friday kind of work. But you know, they rejoice over being able to retire. How about birthdays? Rejoice over birthdays. Little kids especially, you know, they really rejoice over their birthday. But there's some major milestones, right? You know, you got certain ones that you hit, and I understand maybe as you get older, maybe you don't care so much as for them. You might want to forget them. But I know when, you know, kids growing up, you know, big deal when they turn 5 or big deal when they turn 13 and 21 and 18, 16 especially, you know, finally I get to drive. I couldn't wait to turn 16 when I was growing up. I was like, man, I can't wait to drive. All right, and you know, I don't know. I think as you get older, you still should celebrate and rejoice over the fact you know, hey, Brother Leeper's gonna be 50 next year. That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. Half a century man right here. You know, he'll be a half a century man. I think it's something to rejoice over. Okay, we rejoice at birthdays. How about graduations? Man, someone graduates from high school. We rejoice over that. You know, man, they just finished 13 years of school. They kept at it. They kept that going. They pushed through. And then someone goes off to college. Man, they just wanted more of a beating for 4 more years. I mean, they wanted to learn some more for 4. We rejoice because they finished that. And they, like, hey, you completed what was required of you. Maybe it's a new job. Hey, if you're out of work, you need a new job, right? You rejoice. Man, I finally got some work. Can bring in some money, bring home the bacon. How about somebody's engagement? Oh, yeah. Especially the young lady, right? You always know who got engaged because they're doing one of these numbers. Hi, how are you? How are you going? You're like, oh, something blinded me. What do you got over there? They got to show you that diamond that their man got them. Look, he decided to propose to me. Well, then, of course, we rejoice in what comes after the wedding. That's always a time of rejoicing, two people coming together, especially when they do it right. Okay, we rejoice that they stayed pure, right to marriage, and they're coming together and they're making vows before God. And we say, hey, praise the Lord. We rejoice in a wedding, and we rejoice with them and hope and pray that they, you know, hey, stay faithful to each other and do what's right. How about the holidays? We rejoice in the holidays, you know. Christmas, we rejoice in the birth of Christ and just getting together with family and friends. Thanksgiving, just look at what we're thankful for. 4th of July, we rejoice to go watch some fireworks get exploded. And hey, you know, our country had another birthday. And just, yeah, we rejoice in holidays. And maybe even rejoice in the little holidays. I don't know. You know, there's National Pancake Day and National Donut Day. I mean, hey, you're big into those foods. I get it, man. You're like, woohoo, you know. I rejoice in National Pie Day, you know. So, hey, there you go. Maybe a victory over war. You know, when World War II ended, man, people were rejoicing. They were thrilled. And there were just all kinds of things going on. How about the grand opening of a business? People rejoice over that. The business owners rejoice. Finally, we're opening up, going to make a profit, hopefully. And customers rejoice over that, right? Hey, you got any specials going on because you're opening up today? Got any free samples or you got any deals, you know? And yeah, people rejoice over that. I mean, you'll see it. They'll be lined up. The coffee shop over here, man. I remember they were going to do their, you know, they'd already been open, but then they do their grand opening. Man, they were going to give out free coffee for a year or something. I don't know, something crazy for so many people. Man, there was lines wrapped around the building an hour before the store opened, which means they were probably there several hours before the store opened, all because I can get free coffee for a year. Woohoo! Man, rejoicing over stuff. How about the birth of a new baby? Oh, we just had Duncan, man. There's all kinds of rejoicing over that. You know what's something that we often don't rejoice over? What's the opposite of a birth of a baby? The death of someone. And now we're going to look at Scripture, and God tells us to rejoice over it. And you're going to say, Pastor, what? Rejoice over my death. Yeah. Rejoice over your death. There are some things to rejoice over when you die. We're going to look at that today, and I believe we should. Now, look, if you're a Christian, and if you've lost someone that's a Christian, yeah, there's some sorrow there, but I notice, you know what the sorrow always is? And don't take this wrong. I don't look down upon people when they sorrow when they lose a loved one, okay? But it's a selfish sorrow because we miss them, and they're taken from us. But at the same time, if you're a Christian and you know they're Christian, they're saved, you're not sorrowing that where they're at. You're sorrowing because you don't get to be with them anymore. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, hey, God gave us that sorrow. It's natural, but we still should rejoice in their death. We're going to look at Scripture as to why we should rejoice in the day of one's death. Why rejoice in the day of one's death? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1 says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." That's God telling us. The day of your death is better than the day of your birth. We're going to look at it. We're going to see why. Let's go to God in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, I ask you to give me the right words to say as I bring forth this message today. God, help me to be a help, a blessing to these folks that are here. They came, God, to get something from you. They didn't come to necessarily hear me. They came to get something from your word. Lord, put Jason Dunbar off to the side, and may your word be lifted up, and they get something from the Bible today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Why rejoice in your death? Well, first of all, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at a few scriptures today. I don't want it to just be, this is what I have to say to tell you. I want you to know, hey, this is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 6 says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When I die, I'm going to become absent from this body. The real me. See, you think you know me, but you just see my shell. The real me is inside. And when this body dies, the real me is gone. That's why when you see someone laying in a casket, you look and you're like, "That's them, but I don't look like them." Yeah, because that's their shell. You've never seen their shell without the real them. And the real them is not there anymore. Hey, when I die, I'm going to see my Savior face to face. That's something to rejoice about. I'll be able to actually see my Savior. I've just imagined what he may look like. I've read about him, but I don't know what he looks like. And I'll get to see him face to face. My eyes will behold him. I'll be able to touch him. As I was putting this together, I thought about, I'll be able to give him a hug. Now, and I know everybody's not a hugger, but you hug the one you care about. I'll be able to run up to him and give him a hug and thank him personally. Look, I've thanked him in my prayers, but I'll be able to look him in the eyes and say, "Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you." I'll be able to do that face to face for the first time in my life. That'll be an exciting day. I believe when I die, boom, I'm going to be right there and he's going to be right in front of me. That's what I believe. And I'll be able to run up. Yeah, he's God and he's holy, but he's also my Savior. He's also my Savior, and I'll be able to thank him for what he did for me. What else? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and Revelation 21. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 says, I'll give you a few minutes here. I still hear the pages moving, so I'll give you a few seconds. Verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. See, this body's corruptible. It's going to fall apart. They're going to be raised incorruptible. It means it's not going to fall apart. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this incorruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know why I'm going to rejoice? I'm going to have a new body. And it's not going to feel any pain. Brand new body. I got a handicapped brother. He's not been able to walk by himself his whole life. He's born 2 months premature, had some problems. And his right side is paralyzed, and so he's not been able to properly walk. He's looking forward to getting that new body. I'm looking forward to him getting a new, I'm looking forward to having a race with him. When we were kids, we said, John, I'm going to race you. And we all said it. We all, to this day, we'll say it. He'll probably beat us. He'll beat us. You know what? It's interesting is that even though he hasn't walked, he's dreamed about it. I remember there would be days he'd be at the breakfast table. I had a dream last night I was running. I don't know how a man who's never ran can dream about running, but he's dreamed about running. And he's dreamed about, he can't wait to get up there and get that new body. You know, as real young people, they don't get it sometimes because they don't have as many aches and pains. Now, I know some of you folks probably got more than I, but I'm starting to get some. Starting to realize, okay, I get the draw. I get the lure going, Lord, that new body's sounding pretty good right now. Yeah. A new body. No more pain. No more pain. I mean, that's just unfathomable. Yeah, there's days where I feel better than others, but to never have any more pain, no more sorrow. That's a day to rejoice. That's something to look forward to. Well, it can't happen unless you're dead. Because you're still stuck in his body, as we just saw. If you're alive, you're still stuck in his body. You gotta die to go there. That's something to rejoice over. John chapter 14. What else? Keep your fingers in Corinthians because we'll be back there. John chapter 14. John 14 verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, you're going to have a new home to look forward to. You're going to have a brand new mansion. I don't know too many people that live in mansions. I had an uncle that my aunt married, and he was rich, and we visited them one time. I remember going to their house. They had a mansion. I mean, it was a legit mansion, okay? It was so big, he had his own, you know, he had a pool down, you know, you walk through this garden yard, and you get down to the end, there's a big old massive Olympic-sized swimming pool, and he had a changing house that the house for the pool was larger than most people's houses. That's how big his house was. And I thought, man, and I remember being in that mansion, it was just like, wow, it's huge. But I know that my mansion one day is going to be, that little house that he had is going to be like a shack compared to the mansion that we're going to have one day. I always read that verse, in my Father's house are many mansions. What's your Father's house like? Oh my word. Because if we're all getting a mansion and it's in his Father's house, that place is huge. That's something to rejoice over. You may not have the best house here on this earth, but one day you'll have the best house that's out of this world. One day. That's something to rejoice over. Just, you know, hey, when you get down to the dumps, you go, man, really not liking my house today. Lord, you got something better for me someday. And it'll be perfect. Think about it. No leaky faucets, no leaky pipes, no rotting roof, no foundation problems. Yeah. It'll be built by Jesus Christ. It'll be sure. It'll no problems. No problems. What else? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go back there. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 56. It says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look, we can get some victory over our sin right now here on this earth, but you know what I'm looking forward to? Is not having to worry about sin. You know what I worry about now is I've got to fight the temptation that's going to come my way today, because I know it's going to come. It always comes. When I'm up there, not only is there not going to be any sin, there'll be no temptation to sin. You'll be just going along just fine. There's zero temptation. That I can't fathom. How that's possible, I don't understand. But you know why? Because I've never experienced it. How do you explain something you've never experienced before? You can't. But God tells us, no more sin. Don't worry about it. Sin-free life for eternity. No temptation. No problems. You know what? You'll have a perfect body. You know why this body falls apart? Because it's corrupted by sin. You get that new body, it'll be incorruptible because there's no sin in it. Never have to worry about it. You know what else I know because of all of that? Guess who's not going to be there? Satan. The old devil. He ain't going to be up there. He ain't going to bother me anymore. That is something to rejoice about. Not having to worry about Satan giving you a hard time. Putting doubts in your mind whether you're pleasing God right. Trying to get you to come away from God and get you tempted to sin. He won't be there because he's not allowed to go there anymore. He got kicked out years ago. Now he comes before the throne of God, but that's as far as he'll ever get to heaven. And God tells us one day he's going to be kicked out of there and said, get out of here, you're not welcome back. And we all know what his final end is. It's the lake of fire. God's going to take him and toss him in. And it will never be a problem ever again to any person. That's something to rejoice about. Be able to see the enemy completely gone. No worries. No worries. We'll be free of them. Won't even have to think about it. What else? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in verse 9. There, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to get my reward. Hey, all of us are going to stand before Jesus Christ one day. Judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give account of what we've done for him. Not your sin, because you know what? Your sin has been bought and paid for. You don't have to stand trial for your sin because Jesus already paid for it. So when you get to heaven, you won't stand trial for the sin that you did. You'll stand before God and give account, hey, Lord, this is what I did for you. And it's all going to be laid out. Don't worry, God's not going to forget a thing. He'll bring out exactly what you did. You know what? If you've done something for him, you've got some rewards. You'll give account for what you did in your body. The Bible tells us there's some crowns that we can receive. I'm not going to turn to these scriptures, but I'll give them to you. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, it talks about an incorruptible crown. Incorruptible crown. 2 Timothy 4:8 talks about a crown of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I've never had a crown before. Not a legit crown. Okay, yes, I've been to Burger King and got the Burger King crown, but it ain't going to be no Burger King crown you're getting up in heaven. Okay? England just lost their queen, and now they're getting a king, and they're going to crown their king. That's a little bit closer to what our crowns will look like, something like that. But it'll be made with incorruptible elements, not corruptible elements. James 1:12 talks about a crown of life. Look, these are things that are attainable. You say, man, I want some crowns. Go look them scriptures up. Figure out how to get them. Figure out how to earn them. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, crown of rejoicing. Crown of rejoicing. 1 Peter 5:4, crown of glory. Crown of glory. Bible tells us our works are going to go through the fire. And if it's wood, hay, and stubble, which your works can be wood, hay, and stubble. If you're doing it for yourself, it can be wood, hay, and stubble. If you're going, hey, I'm going to just try to do it my own way, it's wood, hay, stubble. I don't know about you, but I've seen wood, hay, stubble go through the fire. It's gone, man. It's ashes. But if it's gold, silver, precious stones, man, when that stuff goes through the fire, it's purified. It's even better than when it comes out. It's better than when it went in. You can have that. And that's something to rejoice about. Those are some things that most people don't have gold. Especially, you might get, I got a gold coin or something, but real amount of gold. Definitely don't have crowns. That's something to rejoice about. What else? How about this? You'll be reunited with those that have gone on before. Hey, I know some people that are up there waiting on me. I got some grandparents up there. It'll be good to see them again. It's been a few years. I got some children I've never met. They're waiting on me. I know some of you got that. You got family members that have gone on before. You got parents, loved ones, spouses. They're waiting on you. Now, I don't think they're waiting at the gates waiting, when are you going to get here? I think they're enjoying heaven. And they're just waiting for you to show up and, hey, let's go enjoy it together. It might be a little bit of a, hey, what? Show me the best stuff right now, okay? All right, come on. Hey, we got friends. I've been in this church for over 5 years. There's some people missing now. They used to be here that I consider friends. It'd be good to see them again. It'd be good to find out, hey, what you been up to? What's heaven like? I'm sure it'll be nothing but good. It'll be good. Hey, we have some things to rejoice about. But there's some people who won't rejoice over their death. There are some folks who right now are not rejoicing and looking forward to their death. One of those people is a lost man. The lost man does not rejoice in his death. The lost man does not look forward to his death. Now, look, I'm not saying you're going, man, I can't wait to die. No, hey, have a purpose in life. But you're not afraid of it. And you look forward knowing, hey, when I do die, I'm with him. I'm with him. But the lost man, he runs from it. You look into these billionaires right now, you know one of the things they're trying to do? They're trying to figure out how they can make their life longer. Now, they won't necessarily call it this, but they're trying to find immortality is what they're trying to do. Because they want to lengthen their life, and they're hoping if I can lengthen it a little more, maybe I can figure something else out and lengthen it some more and some more. You're not going to lengthen your life. You might live long, but life is going to come to an end at some point. And the lost man, he fears death. He does not rejoice in death.
One of those reasons is because it's unknown to him. He has no idea what's on the other side. Often the lost man rejects what the Bible has to say. This book right here tells us, it's the only book that tells us what's going to happen after you die. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven. If you're lost, you'll go to hell. And they say, I don't want that. Okay, so what's going to happen to you? I don't know. And so they make up theories. Well, I'll just become nothing. Oh, I'll come back as something else. If I've done good karma, then hopefully I'll come back as another person. But at best, I'll come back as a better being. I'll be a dog, or I'll be this, or I'll be a bird, or, you know, or I'll be an amoeba if I was really bad. I don't know. They think they'll come back as something. No, that's not how it works. That's not what the Bible says. They try to make up all kinds of stuff. Then they come up with their own, you know, well, we go to this other place. You know, we'll go to purgatory and pay for my sin there. No, don't find that anywhere in Scripture. The lost man doesn't rejoice in death. He's fearful of it. Because he doesn't know what's going to happen. He's uncertain. But you know what? Scripture tells us what will happen to him. This is his reality. He has no hope of anything. But this is his reality. Revelation chapter 20. You say, I don't like this reality that you're about to tell me. Yeah, I know. I didn't like it either when I was 9 years old, but God said, hey, you can do something about it, so do something. And I realized at 9, I don't like that reality, but why sit here and say, I don't like it, and then not change it? Because God said, I'll give you an opportunity to change it. Here it is, free gift of salvation. What are you going to do with it? And too many people say, well, I don't like that option. Well, there's only two. Keep going the route you're going, or take this option A, Jesus Christ. And if you reject it, your route hasn't changed. This is where every man is headed unless he changes it and chooses Jesus Christ. Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. Doesn't matter who you are, how big you are, how small you are, how old you are, how young you are. Stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Look at verse 8 of chapter 21. But the fearful, you say, what are these people? But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. I think that covers everybody. I don't know of anybody who's never lied before. All right, we've all lied in some way. Maybe you're not a perpetual liar, but you've made a lie somewhere. You've been unbelieving at some point. You've been fearful at some point. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's where the lost man's headed. He's headed to the lake of fire. And he can fight it. He can say, it's already planned. You're going there. Whether you like it or not, that's where you're headed. And what a lost person needs to do is accept it. If you're here today without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you've not put your faith and trust in him, what he did on the cross, that's why he came on and died on the cross, was to save your soul. Because nobody could pay the penalty of their own sin. None of us can. You can't work it off. Because you try working it off, you still keep adding to it. Bible says you broke one law, you broke them all. You can't pay for it. Jesus Christ paid for it, though. And you simply have to accept him as your Savior. Over in John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John 3. And verse 16 is a very popular verse. A lot of us know that verse. But 18 and 19 are just as important as verse 16. Don't get me wrong. Verse 16 is important. We needed that. But 18 and 19 tells us where we're going if we don't accept verse 16. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. Oh, you believe on him, you're not condemned anymore. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Look, whether you like it or not, you're already condemned. The only way to become uncondemned is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. So if you're here today, you say, man, I'm lost without any hope. I have no hope. I'm scared of death. I'm not going to rejoice in my death. Those things you said that you're happy about, I'm not looking forward to any of that. You can have hope today. You don't have to leave here without any hope. You can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and leave these doors different than when you came in. You can leave knowing, I'm going to heaven. You can leave knowing all those things I listed, and look, there's many more. Hey, I can look forward to that. I can look forward to dying now. I don't have to worry about it. But if you don't get it changed, you're still going to be condemned. Too many people go, listen through a message and you go, man, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go to hell. But then you don't do anything about changing the direction you're going. You got to change that direction. Who else isn't looking forward to their death? Because there's some other people, there's lost people, but you know what? There might even be some Christians not looking to rejoice in their death. How about the Christian who's not serving God anymore? The Christian who quit serving God or has done nothing, never served God. You got saved, but that's it. Hey, you're not looking forward to your death because you know you're going to stand before your Savior and give account of the things you did for him in your body, and that's going to be an absolute goose egg. Nothing. You're going to stand before God, and you're going to go, Jesus, and say, hey, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. And Jesus will say, what'd you do for me, child? And you're going to look around, and there's going to be nothing there. Man, that's going to be a shameful day. You're not going to get to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I don't know what he's going to say. You might be hanging your head walking into heaven. I believe that's why in Revelation it talks about wiping all tears away from our eyes. I think there's some Christians are going to be sorrowful for not doing anything for God. For a little bit of time there, they're going to be crying about it. And God's just going to have to say, all right, child, it's over. Don't worry about it anymore. Your soul is saved. You're here in heaven. Time to rejoice. But you don't have to worry about that. Look, you can change today. Say, I'm not doing anything for God. I'm not looking forward to that. Okay, well, change it. Change your direction. Start doing something for God. How about the Christian who's living in sin? Just continually living in sin. Doesn't care. And they're not looking forward to dying because they know they're going to stand before God and, well, God, you know, you saved my soul. Thank you. I just kept living in debauchery. I just kept doing my own thing. You gave me the Holy Spirit to help me, but I didn't listen to him. I ignored him all the time. I believe there's some Christians I believe God has taken because they would not do right. Hey, God has called us to turn from sin. He's called us not to live like that anymore. It doesn't mean it's going to take some work on our part. But he wants us to say no to temptation. He wants us to resist the devil. Hey, you can get victory through Jesus Christ. Hey, you need help? Seek help. I understand. Sometimes you need some help with it. Look for it. How about the backslidden Christian? They used to do right. They used to be in church. They no longer are. They're just doing their own thing. You know what? They can come back to the Savior. Look, they're not looking forward to their death either because they know they're going to have to face Jesus Christ one day and give account for what they did. But it doesn't have to be that way. Look, we all should rejoice in the fact, hey, one day I'm going to die. I get to be up in heaven. We can look forward to that day, okay? Not that you're rushing to do it. Hey, I understand. I know, I remember when I was real young, man, I had things I wanted to do, okay? When I was 14, man, I wanted to drive a car. God, can I live long enough? Can you hold the rapture back long enough so I can get to driving a car? I wanted to get married. I wanted to have a family. You know, you've got plans. There's nothing wrong with that. But also look forward to, hey, when he does choose to take me, whether it's sooner or later, I do have something to look forward to. I have a reason to rejoice that, hey, I'm done with this body of flesh. This body of flesh has died and the real me is gone. Rejoice in that. If you're here today and you don't have a reason to rejoice in that, if you're lost, you say, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Get that taken care of today. Like in a moment, we're going to have a moment of invitation. If God's dealt in your heart, altar's open. Come up and talk to him. And if you don't know for sure you're saved, I'll be standing up front. And you come up, shake my hand, say, hey, Brother Dunbar, I need to get saved. And we'll get somebody to take you in a back room and show you from not their mouth, but from the Word of God, how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. That is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, is knowing for a fact, I'm going to heaven. I'm not headed to hell anymore. I'm going to heaven. Christian, are you rejoicing or are you a little fearful? If you're a little fearful, hey, come up to this altar. You don't need to leave the same way you came. Okay? That's what church is about. It's about improving yourself. It's about, hey, if you got some things to get right with God, get it right with God and then leave different than when you came in. When you have a problem and you go see the doctor and you say, I got this ailment, you want him to help you out so when you leave, you've got hope and you can be different than when you showed up. But if the doctor gives you the medicine and you say, oh, okay, and you leave it there and leave the hospital, what good was it? None. Seek help. Come to this altar. Say, hey, Lord, I don't know what it is. Everybody's got different situations, okay? And I don't need to know. It's just between you and the Lord. You can seek his help. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have the music play here in a minute.